comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here. We are here because you have a right to know. We are here because you matter. It is time once again for our nightly journey into the world of the strange and unexplained. I am Kevin Smith, your pilot on tonight's flight of the KSS Starship. So fasten your seatbelts and open your mind. This flight of the KSS Starship is ready to launch. Our guest, Crystal Clark, will join us on air in just a moment. Now, for those of you who are new to the KSS, that's Kevin Smith Show, let me tell you that we have a free weekly newsletter. It's called the K-Files and always contains interesting stuff related to our genre, including inside information from here at the Kevin Smith Show. Now, as I said, it's absolutely free, so there's no reason for you not to be getting it, and there's no genius in not getting it. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, but to subscribe, all you have to do is just click where it says K-Files right there, right in the middle of the screen at my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com, and just click that and subscribe. You'll get an email that has a link in it, and that link has to be used to activate your subscription. Be sure you do that, because if you don't activate it, you won't get it, all right? I'd like to welcome our newest members in our members community. We have a number, and I want to tell you to be sure that you read the new members info. It contains a lot of information that you actually really need. Okay, so be sure you read that. The link to the new members info is on that very first page after you log in. So be sure you read that. In the members community, we have been missing something that we had in our old members area. It's called the Video Galaxy. Well, the reason it's been missing is because it's been being reconstructed, and it has a whole new look and a whole new functionality. The Video Galaxy will open tonight after the show, so members, be sure you check it out. Those of you who have been checking the announcements forum, as we tell everybody to do, because that's where all the goody information goes, you've already had a sneak peek at it. And I'm getting messages back from people saying, man, that's fantastic stuff. So anyway, it's going to open after the show tonight. Be sure you check it out. Now, if you're not a member yet, you can solve that tonight. It's very easy to solve. You know, it's always free to listen. But we have tons of good stuff for you in the members community, like the archives, forums, chat, your own blog, your own photo album, your own video album, and you get to watch the shows every night. Plus, now we have the Video Galaxy open once again, or it will be shortly after the show tonight. It's all new and very cool, and it only costs $7.50 a month to be a member. Think about that. Now, that's 25 cents a day. Come on. 25 cents a day? It's well worth much more than that. But you can fix it tonight. Join tonight. We'll give you the first 7 days free. And we'll be back right after this. So don't go away. Crystal Clark is an author and philosopher born in the United States in 1972. For the first 28 years of her life, she chose the material path until she had an unusual encounter in the year 2000 that altered the course of her life. A series of events took place after this experience that ejected her from the corporate, money-driven paradigm and thrust her into the world of the unknown, a world that revealed a very ancient sacred science to her, one that has been hidden from the public for thousands of years. Her journey has convinced her that giving knowledge of the sacred science back to the masses is the only way our civilization will avoid another cataclysmic self-destruction episode. But is she right? Well, let's find out. Crystal Clark, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It's good to be here.
Crystal, you say that in 2000 something happened that caused you to be ejected eventually from this corporate paradigm and to discover this sacred science. And we're going to talk about all of that. But first, before we get into that, let me ask you to explain to the audience why you don't use a photograph of yourself.
Hey. Well, I think really it's just what I look like is really not that important. I think that the information is what's important, and that's what people should focus on.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
It doesn't matter what I look like. And it's not that I'm funny looking or strange looking or anything. It's just not that important.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the sacred science. And we're going to start with the event, the encounter in the year 2000. You were busy in the corporate world. I believe you were running a business, weren't you?
I was. I was an operations manager for a large company, and I was working many, many hours like you have to do when you have those positions. Yeah.
Okay. What happened in 2000?
A friend of mine that I worked with, a coworker, she had moved here from New York not long before this. Wonderful woman. We became friends. And she was very psychic. And she said, hey, I heard there's a really good psychic here in town. Let's go see her. And I had never been to a psychic before. I believed that people had that ability, but I had never been to one. And I didn't want to offend her. I had one day off that week. I had taken an extra day off to spend with my family because I had been working quite a bit. So I didn't necessarily want to go, but I thought, you know, she said it's only a half an hour, and I thought between the drive there and back and the session, it's only an hour and a half out of my day, so I went. And she booked our sessions back to back. My session was first. And I was in there for about an hour and a half with this psychic. And she was telling me things that I really just couldn't wrap my brain around at the time. And she also was telling me my future about 6 years in advance. And of course, I didn't know that at the time. And one of the things that she said to me was, you're not supposed to be doing what you're doing. You're supposed to be a writer and a healer. And of course, that's very, very strange, right? You know, you spend your life doing something else. You're good at it. Everything's fine. Why would you change it, right? That doesn't really make any sense. And so I thanked her very kindly, and I went outside, and I waited for my friend, for her to finish her session. And I never really thought about it again for a while. It was just kind of a fun thing to do for the day, I guess. I didn't really take it seriously. And then some events began to transpire in my personal life where I was no longer working for the corporate world. There was no way to get back in any meaningful way. And at that point, I had to decide, you know, what am I going to do with my life, basically, right? If you decide you're not going to do what you've done for a living all of your life, you have to wonder, what now? And then I remembered what she said, and I thought, well, I'll try it. And that's how it started.
Okay, and your bio says that this led you to discover the very ancient sacred science. How did that happen?
Well, at the time, because I had a lot of time on my hands, I started reading a lot, things that I thought were fascinating. And, you know, when you go down that road, what some people refer to as the rabbit hole, one thing leads to another thing, and I ended up just reading really about everything you can imagine. UFOs, past life regression sessions, ancient technology, civilizations, everything. And I started to see these common threads that ran through all of these different books and philosophies. And I thought, all of these things are connected somehow, but I didn't really understand it. And I thought, well, I'll write a book about that. I'll write a book about how all these things are connected in terms of the connections that I saw. And then I started doing that, and I thought, you know, it felt hollow. It felt really silly just to write a book because somebody says you're supposed to. So at that point, I really started meditating in a way where you focus on something very specific. And I started meditating and praying and asking, well, what am I supposed to write about? Help me out here, right? Because I'd never done it before. And I wanted it to be meaningful in some way. Now, when I started doing that, I started getting information in my dreams. And this happened for about 9 months. And usually I refer to it as downloads, which is really just an oversimplification because I don't really know how to explain it. It was like being in school at night. I was learning things. And the next day I knew that this was happening, although you can't really remember how it happened. You just know that it happened. So the next day I would wake up and I would understand things that I didn't understand before. And so this went on for about 9 months, and there were certain terms and phrases that I had come across in some of the books that I had read that I really didn't understand. And then at some point, the light finally went on, and I thought, oh, that's what this is. That's what this is. And I refer to it as the sacred science, but it used to be referred to as either the law, the one law, or some refer to it as the law of one. And I had come across that from many different sources. Edgar Cayce had talked about it. I found it in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I had some really neat books by a man. His name is Professor Edmond Bordozeke, who was allowed in the Vatican's private vaults at one point to translate some of their Essene texts. And those texts talked about it a lot, too. But I didn't, because I lived my life the way so many of us have. You know, we're taught that this is what you do. You work hard to make lots of money. That's what life is about. That's what you do. So it's kind of sad that it took 9 months of going through this, whatever I was going through, to really get it. But when I got it, I realized this is what they're talking about. They're literally talking about creation. They're talking about the way it functions, the way it works. And once I understood that, I thought, oh, not only is it really beautiful, but it was also very disturbing, because at that moment I really understood what we're doing. And a lot of people, of course, if you don't understand how it works, and really what it's about is the way creation is designed to create, uphold, and regenerate life, and all these little kind of rules and laws that are in place to make that happen. And when we don't know what they are, we start to change them and alter them over time. And once we do that, it's very much like a virtual reality program. The program starts to break down. And I understand that a lot of it happens out of ignorance because we don't know. But then I also discovered that a lot of the reason that we don't know is because it's being weaponized. That has a lot to do with it, too.
Okay. Now, see, that brings up some awesome stuff. You're saying that these laws of creation are being weaponized?
Yes. Yes, they are. And
okay,
you know,
first of all, by whom and in what way are they being weaponized?
Well, understanding how it works first, I think, is a little more helpful, because the military has done it, and I'll provide examples of that so that people know exactly what I mean. But it does help to have kind of a basic understanding of what I mean by a law. In these texts, the older texts, it would say things like, you know, if you deviate from the law, and the law is an umbrella term, really, for all of the little teeny tiny laws or codes, we could say. It would say that if you deviate from this law, you will begin to experience disease, illness, and death. And I didn't really understand it until I understood what they do. And everything has these laws attached to them. And they're really, if we look at it through computer code, it makes a lot more sense. Everything is coded to kind of do a certain thing. Everything has a very specific function. So in that sense, the way that they used to explain it was in terms of natural law. They viewed it as nature, but today it's easier to understand through computer programming, I think. And what it is that everything is partially creating everything else. Everything is, it's like codes in the sense that I think it's really easy to explain through music. If you can apply the idea of musical notes and symphonies to how we use our language in terms of writing. So we know that we have a basic alphabet. We have letters, you know, A, B, C, D, and of course musical notes have some of those same letters. So it's very helpful to look at it that way. We could say that these are just it's like a recipe. Each creation is its own recipe. No two things are alike. So we could say that the alphabet, these letters, are just basic ingredients, and they don't really mean or do anything by themselves necessarily. But when you start to put them into different combinations, then we move up the scale, and it's also fractal, which is a very important thing to remember. The pattern is fractal. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So on the small scale, you take all these letters and you put them together. You moved up the fractal scale one notch, and now you have a word. Now this word is a recipe. But even this word, even though it now is its own creation, will also be used in a sentence with a bunch of other words that all mean something different. But when you put them all together, you've moved up the scale again, and now you have a paragraph. And that just continues. You know, the paragraphs become chapters, and the chapters become books, and the books become libraries, and it just goes on and on and on. It's infinite. But each one of these little things, or in this case letter, has a very specific function, what it does. And for example purposes, we know that if you have iron and you have water, and they are two very different things, they're like two very different words, but they each carry their own specific function. So we could say that the iron, let's say it's an iron axe. The iron axe has a law attached to it, and water has a law attached to it, and they do what they do, but when you combine the two, you get rust. And now you've created something else by combining these two things. And everything is like that. Everything is partially creating everything else. So we know a plant, for example, has a recipe. We know that it requires the sun. We know that it requires water. We know that it requires land, if it's a terrestrial plant. So all of these different things are co-creating all of these different things. And that's basically how it works. But frequency plays a very big role in all of this. And Masaru Emoto's work really helps people understand that.
Okay, I think most people are familiar with Dr. Emoto's work. And if you're not, then folks, you need to go over to YouTube and put in Dr. Emoto and take a look at some of these amazing videos of his work having to do with the power of our thoughts, the power of consciousness, upon water as it crystallizes into ice. It's absolutely astounding what takes place when people sitting around the water are thinking in one way as opposed to thinking in another way. You get completely different results. And just to make it simple, let me say, if you're sitting there thinking, everybody's thinking about everyone else, they're thinking, I hate you, I can't stand you, I'm going to beat you up, and they're all thinking this, then the crystals look very chaotic. But if they are thinking, I love everyone at this table, these are my friends, then the crystals are very beautiful and very well organized. And he's been able to prove that. And you can watch it happen on those videos. Okay, so the question I would have then is, how could anyone harness enough of this to weaponize it?
Yeah, that's really interesting. One of the interesting things that Masaru Emoto discovered is that on the first day of the first Gulf War, he was taking samples of the tap water. And he noticed that all of the harmful things, you know, like lead and mercury and whatnot, in the tap water spiked really, really high that day, and he wasn't sure why. And then he found out that it was the first day of the first Gulf War. Now, there's a connection there, and this is a really important thing to understand, and this also has a lot to do with alchemy, which is really kind of neat. Masaru Emoto knows that certain metals on our planet, they resonate with certain planets. So, and again, it goes back to frequency and resonance. A lot of this does. When there was literal war and death and destruction on this planet, in this particular case, things that were harmful in another part of the planet became amplified during that moment. There was an amplification of it. Now, this happens because it has to happen. Everything is interacting with everything else. And so if you have a harmful frequency, you can amplify it.
Okay, we have to step away for a break. We're going to pick up right there with harmful things and destructive things causing amplification of harmful and destructive metals and other materials. We'll pick up right there when we come back. More with Crystal Clark right after this.
Kevin Smith Show, and my IQ jumped 20 points.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is Crystal Clark. And Crystal, when we went away for break, you just begun to talk to us about how very destructive things happening on the planet cause a spike in harmful metals.
Yes, it's a very strange thing, but it's really no different than if you have, let's say you have three or four string instruments in the same room. It could be a harp or a guitar or a violin. If you pluck the A string on one of those, all of the others will vibrate to that same note.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much that same thing. Things with similar frequencies or patterns will resonate with each other. Now, the military knows this, and actually this information came from Dr. Nick Begich. The first wrote that I book as a study guide, because once I understood it and I knew how it worked, I created a study guide to go over all of these different researchers' work, because they all had a piece of it that I thought was really important for people to know about. And whenever I could, I went to the researcher and asked them, you know, can I please reproduce some of your work in my book to introduce people to it? And he was very, very giving in doing that. So this information actually comes from Dr. Nick Begich's book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but
oh yes,
he's an excellent researcher, and he has a lot of government documents that he goes through, and one of them was how they've weaponized this type of resonance with lithium in the human body. Lithium is naturally produced by the human body. Now the military knows the frequency of lithium in your body, and because they know what it is, they can aim a frequency at your body and amplify it as though you were given a massive dose without you ever taking it. That's just one way it's been weaponized.
And what would that cause?
Well, in the case of lithium, I know that they prescribe that drug for people that have like bipolar disease and things like that. It has effects on your mental functioning. And that's just lithium, though. That's, I mean, how many others are there that we don't know about? So in that particular case, we could say, we could look at something harmful like fluoride, for example. Now, fluoride is not really good for you in any dose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it would take a certain dose to be lethal. And if you know the frequency of fluoride in a person's body, you can externally amplify it as though they did take a massive dose. Their body would behave as though they were dosed very, very high, even though they weren't. So that's the kind of resonance that's so important in understanding how all of creation works. Now, and it's really neat stuff, and I could provide so many examples of how this works. But another really neat thing is a researcher, his name is Dan Carlson, and he discovered that the songs of dolphins make the coral grow. That's part of what they do with their songs. And also, birds, the sounds of birds and insects not only bring rain, but can trigger the blooming mechanism in plants, which is really neat. So when you know something like that, then you look at that and you go, well, is Native American rain dancing, can they really do that? And the answer is yes. If you know what frequencies to use, of course you can. Nature does it every day. So now in this sense, we have this is the other thing that's really important. And it is really neat because you look at this and you think, wow, there are so many unbelievable things that we could be doing with this. But then you also look at it and you say, well, there are a lot of really unbelievable things we're doing with this that mm-hmm. we shouldn't be doing. Because everything is programmed to function a certain way, and the interactions are designed to happen a certain way, and always for the purpose of creating, upholding, and regenerating life. When we understand how that works, we understand that there's some reprogramming of the code going on, and this can also be considered weaponization if you take a serious look at population reduction. Now, a really good example of this is GMOs, because we have to understand that every single, you know, food that we eat was designed very specifically to create, regenerate, and uphold life. That's what it does. So when we eat it and we ingest it, those things come into our body and they do what they're designed to do. Our code accepts that kind of code. But when you create a genetically modified food, what's really interesting about this is that you're not just altering the code of the fruit or the seed that produces the fruit, you're often injecting things that resonate with death to do it, like a virus or pesticides, which kill. That's what they do. So now we've altered the food supply, which is very, very bad. And then vaccines is another issue too, right? Because our bodies are just like these little laws or codes. Our bodies are designed to function a certain way. And what happens to our computer when we get a virus? The code changes. And then the program doesn't function the way it's supposed to anymore, which is always a problem. And that's what vaccines do. They are literally injecting codes that are viruses that go into your body and reprogram it. Now, how can that be weaponized? Well, of course, we know about pandemics. That's one way. But there are other ways that are more subtle that I think are also disturbing. And this has happened in Africa with a bunch of women that were vaccinated. And they were told that the vaccination was for a tetanus. Of course, only the women got it, which was strange to begin with. But these women all later found that they were sterile and could not have children. Because what happened was the virus went into their body, which has its own code, and rewrote some of the code. And so what happens is now when these women try to have children, the way their body functions has been rewritten in a way that their body will attack the pregnancy, and now they can't have children.
So let me ask you this. Who is responsible for having done that?
Well, in this particular case, I think that they were UN representatives. But
yeah, the World
really
Health
it?
World Health Organization? Is that who did it?
I don't remember exactly who was behind it. And half of the time, I don't think we ever really know, because a lot of these are what they call NGOs, you know, non-governmental organizations, mm-hmm. or it's the UN, or it's the World Health Organization. It's just some organization that goes in, and people have no idea what they're being injected with. So in that sense, so we've talked about GMOs, we've talked about vaccines.
Well, but this thing in Africa, that's genocide.
It is genocide.
Before the babies are even born, yeah.
It absolutely is, and that's what I mean when I say there are so many different ways that you can weaponize it. But you can't, I mean, that's the thing. Once I really understood what it was, I realized this is also, this affects everything. We see that we have doctors that don't heal. They prescribe drugs. And now you see a push to get anything natural off of the market. Mm-hmm. Well, that also is a form of genocide, because drugs are not natural. They are deviations from these laws, which is why they usually make you ill when you take them. Or they mask symptoms. They don't fix the problem because they're not designed to. They're altered codes that we are ingesting into our body. But you see, you can't patent nature. So the push is like an aloe vera plant, we could say. They take that, they process the plant, and then they tweak something in the design. Well, now they can go patent it. You can't actually patent nature. And that's a huge problem, because nature is the design. It's the design that life requires. So you see this happening with Codex. I'm sure you're familiar with Codex.
Yes.
Yes. So this is also a form of genocide, and we see this, they're trying to roll this out all over the globe, where they want to deny people the right even to vitamin supplements.
Yeah, you would, if that ever passes here in the United States, and it's come very, very close, as a matter of fact.
They're trying.
If it ever passes, folks, you'll have to get a doctor's prescription just to go buy vitamins. You'll have to have a doctor's prescription, and the vitamins will be cut down in their potency. So, you know, and they'll become very expensive. It'll all become pharmaceutical. Believe, if you don't already know this, believe what I'm telling you enough to go check it out. There are some very strong proponents in the U.S. government, in the Senate, in the Congress, very strong proponents for killing your ability to go buy health supplements. And I know some names. We've talked about some of those names. But also remember, these are the same people who this week are going to vote on a bill that will make it legal for the U.S. military to arrest Americans in America without charges and hold them indefinitely without trial simply because they suspect. All they have to do is say, we suspect. that this person is involved in some kind of terrorism. And they can just pick you up, arrest you, hold you, no trial. They can Guantanamo you. Now, they're going to vote on that this week. And these are the same people that want to take your health food and health supplements away. I would say that that is weaponizing as well, and that's being done by the legislative branch. So you've got the military involved, you've got science involved with the GMOs and the vaccines, you've got legislators also involved by passing these bills and making all of this legal. All of this Frankenstein science, they're making it legal. That's weaponization as well, isn't it?
Well, I mean, what we're really talking about is complete control over creation in any form at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it definitely falls under the same umbrella, for sure. I would say so. Because that's a form of control. And, of course, I think most people recognize now that we live in what becomes every day more and more of a police state. You're watched everywhere you go. Your phone calls are listened to. Your emails are watched. And that's whether or not you're on the list. Because that's how they decide whether or not you go on a list, right?
Yeah. So, I'm probably on a bunch of lists.
Yes. We're talking about a group of literally insane people that want to control all life on this planet. But the problem is that they are doing it in ways that if it continues, life will no longer be able to exist on this planet. Now, the GMOs, and I'm sure that people know this, it happens with pharmaceuticals, they say, well, we did our own internal tests before they release it. But they generally recall a lot of these drugs after they've made $1 billion and say, oh, sorry, it had some side effects, right?
Okay, we have to step away for break. We'll talk about the side effects when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening my guest is Crystal Clark. And, boy, I'll tell you what, she's got some powerful information here. You need to listen. You need to pay attention. This is not a joke. This is very much for real. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Crystal Clark. And Crystal, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence. I apologize for that, but these breaks are automated, so we have to go with the flow. The floor is yours.
All right. So we know that drug makers do their own trials, and that we're at a place now where the FDA lets them present their own research as to whether or not a drug is any good, which obviously is a conflict of interest. That's a big problem. But I want to apply that same mentality to GMOs for a moment, because there really is a form of global genocide taking place all over the planet that people really don't know about. And these seeds, I don't know if you're familiar with what happened over in India, but a bunch of Indian farmers were tricked into buying Monsanto's seeds. And these are Terminator seeds also, by the way, which means you have to go back every year and buy more seeds. Mm-hmm. Because they've altered the code of the plants. So a bunch of these farmers were tricked into getting these seeds with the same lie that everybody else has sold. They produce higher yield and it's cheaper and all this other nonsense. The yield was so bad, and they were And also, a lot of these people are also ranchers. Farmers are usually ranchers, too. Not only was the yield really bad, but when they fed these seeds to their pigs and their cows, and they either became sterile or gave birth to empty water sacks. And they are feeding this food to us everywhere. So that's a problem. And the reason I say it's so important for people to understand how all of these kind of codes and connections work is because people have purposefully been denied this information because they're trying to, it's sad, but it's true. They're trying to get us to participate through ignorance in our own demise. Do you see what I'm saying? So people genuinely, I believe this, I think that the majority of people genuinely love this planet and they want to do the right thing. So if you go and you tell someone, hey, we can feed all of the starving people in the world with these genetically modified seeds, an individual who doesn't understand what you and I are talking about is going to go, well, hey, let's go do it. But there's a problem because it's not the natural code anymore. And when we mess with these things, it causes problems. Now, another way, and really what we're talking about is weaponizing nature. That's really the basic fundamental principle behind all of this.
Well, before all of this stuff started with genetically modifying food, before it really got into before it got up to full speed, there was enough food in this world to feed everyone in this world and have a massive surplus left over. The reason there are hungry people is because there are stupid, insane, and greedy politicians. That is why there is hunger.
That's true, and that's the next thing I was actually going to get into is weather modification. Now, it sounds harmless, right? They present it as, well, China used it during the Olympic Games to keep it from raining on people during the Games. Or some people said, well, they did it because the pollution was so bad that the athletes were having a hard time when they were practicing. Well, that sounds innocent. But when you have the ability to control the weather, again, you can murder with Mother Nature. And I think that we've seen this happen repeatedly, especially in the last few years. What we're seeing happen is major food crops are being targeted with severe weather. So, for example, we know that Russia and Pakistan had a terrible time because none of the rain would go to Russia, and it was on fire. And meanwhile, Pakistan is turning into a huge bowl of water. That's weather modification. So you're killing crops, and if you're in the stock market and you have access to this technology and you're invested in foodstuffs, well, your stock just went up while you're starving people at the same time. And that's really what we're talking about. It's not just greed. They do have an agenda, but they're making money off of it at the same time. And the same thing is happening here in this country. We had all that flooding in the Midwest, which really is one of our food baskets here. And they even blew up levees and made it worse. They moved a bunch of people. And, you know, they turned around. So the land looked worthless. And they turned around and they bought it really cheap after that happened. And, again, the farms were destroyed. So that's a very disturbing trend also, is that with weather modification. Now, I know that this sounds really far out, but in the first book I did a lot of research, and a lot of these sources are in there, but more and more people are coming across this. It's a document, it's a military dossier, really, is what it is, and it's called Owning the Weather. I think it's Owning the Weather in 2025.
Yeah.
And they completely outline all of this and how you can use weather. They call it weather as a force multiplier. You can starve people out. You can create catastrophes. You know, they talk about this. This is, again, what we're talking about is murdering with Mother Nature. And the only way that they can do all of this is because they understand the codes. They understand the laws of nature, and they are literally turning nature in on itself. And they're doing it in so many different ways that if they keep doing it, we are going to get to a place where life will no longer be able to exist. It will be impossible. You can, you know, maybe break a little code here, you know, deviate from this a little bit. Life is very resilient, but now we have Fukushima, and now we have the Gulf of Mexico, and we have all of this other stuff going on. Now, the other thing that I think is really important to point out about this is what you can do with this technology the right way. I think that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many people that listen to your show are familiar with the Rife machine. It was created by a man named Raymond Rife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he used this type of resonance for healing technology. What he did was he called it the MOR, which stands for mortal oscillatory rate. He could identify the frequency of a virus, and then with this machine, he would aim this same frequency at the virus, but at a higher rate, and they would amplify it until it would shake until it actually kind of exploded, very similar to what a singer does with glass. You could kill it. And he could do this for a variety of different illnesses. All you had to know was the frequency of the pathogen. That's all you had to know. And match it. Now, that doesn't require a drug, right?
That's right.
So that's why we didn't get that technology.
In fact, now, he was harassed and hounded and vilified.
That's right. That's right. You see, we're at a place where death is the most profitable business this planet has ever seen. And it doesn't matter how we look at it. It doesn't matter if it's denying people organic food, which, you know, they're trying to get rid of organic farms now, because those are the proper laws that we need to live by. That's why organic food is organic food. It does what it's supposed to do. If we are all forced to eat altered food, illness will be the result, and they know that. But then they can sell us more drugs, can't they? And then you have the same thing with war. It's a racket. The war machine is not just about reducing the population, but getting rich at the same time from doing it. That's basically the cycle that we're in. And that cycle has only one final outcome. But again, if we use these technologies the right way, we could change everything. I mean, we could literally eliminate disease from this planet. And there's different ways that you can use the technology. Once you understand how it works, for example, Rife used the same frequency against itself. He just amplified it a little bit. But there was a woman, her name was Dr. Hulda Clark, and she used it a little bit differently. She used what she called a positive offset frequency.
Okay, we'll talk about the positive offset frequency when we come back from this break. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. More on the other side. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that first hour. We're talking with Crystal Clark. Crystal, once again, we had to cut you off in mid-sentence, but the floor is yours. You just told us about Raymond Rife, and then you said there was a lady that did something similar but a little different, and it was Dr. Hulda who?
Hulda Clark.
Hulda Clark.
And she just used the technology a little bit different way. In her case, if she knew the frequency of a pathogen, rather than use its same frequency against itself, she would use the exact opposite, and she called that a positive offset frequency. So, for example, if we could, you know, just for example's sake, if we said, well, this disease is a positive 6, she would use a negative 6, and it would cancel it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, of course, we have HARP. We have all of these other things going on, And really what all of this amounts to at the end of the day is that we have two ways to use this technology, and really this is what people mean when they say we can either work with nature or we can work against it. Nature has very specific rules and laws and guidelines that all create, regenerate, and uphold life. That's what they do. And if we learn what those are and we don't alter them and we work with them, then we can have a life of abundance, no disease. The changes would absolutely be remarkable. But what we have right now is we have a group of people that are not only in control of this information so that the rest of us never got it, we got money instead. We learned about fractional banking instead of natural law. They not only control the flow of information about these technologies, but they control the technology and therefore nature itself. Now, it recently came out from a couple of different sources, and I didn't write them down, but I'm sure you've heard about this. We have people betting on the weather. You can actually bet on whether or not a storm is going to happen, if there's catastrophe or whatnot, in the stock market. Now, we could say, well, that's insider trading if you know, you have access to information that somebody is going to create a storm. If you know that somebody has access to that technology and they say, hey, on Friday I'm going to use it, yeah, you can place a bet. But when people have this much control over creation, you're talking about people that this is beyond insider trading. You're talking about making it happen so that you can make money and profit from death and destruction. That's where we're at.
Well, and what we're talking about are people that are berserk. We're talking about people that are totally, completely evil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been doing this show for 11 years. And when I started this show, I was an international police officer. And I was dealing every day with some of the worst people on the planet. Some of the people that you see in the news, and you hear them talking about, you know, what evil people they are, and some of them terrorists and so forth. These are the people that we dealt with. So I was dealing with these people every day. I started this show, and over the 11 years, I have had people call and challenge the idea that there is such a thing as evil. But there is. There absolutely is such a thing as evil. And there are people who not only want to kill you, they have no remorse about it, no more than you would have about closing a door. You just close the door. And there are people that will kill you with just that same emotion. And they don't care if it happens suddenly. They don't care if it happens gradually over a long period of time. And that's evil. Unfortunately, in this country, I think the public has gone berserk because they keep electing a lot of these people to positions in our government. They keep putting them in high places. And they keep buying into the paradigm. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, this is something that is really frustrating to me, because I know that a lot of people really don't know what's right anymore. And I know that the people that are in control of all of this worked really hard to make sure that would be the case. And a really good example that I use it often, but it's very simple. When my son was a baby, he got his first two teeth. And because I really loved him, I listened to what my pediatrician said, and my pediatrician gave me fluoride drops to put in his bottle 3 times a day. Now, I did that because I loved my son, and I thought, I had respect for this man because of who he was. Well, those days are clearly over, and so when I hear people say, love is all you need, well, I loved my son, but I didn't understand that fluoride was a poison. I didn't know that. And it's the same thing with a lot of these other things that people you know, think they're voting for. And not only that, but, and I think this is really important to get out and remind people of, there was a huge scandal with the voting machines, the Diebold voting machines. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie about that.
Yeah.
So even if we are voting for someone that we really like, there are already methods in place to make sure that the votes come out differently than what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem. So really, there's just a great deal of corruption on this planet. And I understand that people are focused on the money. They should be. That's very important. But I also understand that it doesn't matter who we get in office or whether or not we have the Federal Reserve or don't, if all of these other things are still happening. All of these things have to be addressed, because clearly they have not tried to stop Fukushima from sizzling. That's still going. They just stopped talking about it, and so people think, well, it's not on the news, it went away. Well, it didn't go away. And it's not going to go away until somebody does something about it. Now, the same thing happened in the Gulf of Mexico. But again, that's really the thing, is that these, when you understand the way these laws work, the technology that you can develop with it is mind-blowing. And John Hutchison, who you've had on your show, he's just a genius. He really is. He went down to the Gulf of Mexico with an understanding of some of the things that we're talking about in terms of frequency and how it alters things. And he used a very specific set of frequencies down in the Gulf of Mexico on the water that was contaminated with oil and corexit, and he had the lab results before and after, and it worked. Just exposing the water to these frequencies repatterned it, and that's kind of a difficult thing to explain. Because most people, in their minds, have not been allowed to develop a proper sense of nature and natural law. So we think, well, the only way that you can clean something is to strain it. You have to take particles out of it. But that's not the case. There are technologies that can literally repattern things. And what he did with the frequencies that he used was he repatterned the water back to a more pure state. It didn't require filters. It didn't require, bacteria eating the oil. The Gulf of Mexico, people are still dying there. It's still very, very contaminated. And again, they just stopped talking about it, so people think it went away.
Well, you know, it is more important to know what's happening with Lady Gaga and with Lindsay Lohan. Come on, give the major media a break. Those are important issues, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lot of really important issues, and they need to be addressed. But first, people have to understand that, when we're dealing with things like this, there's a tendency to want to look at it and call it unicorns and glitter. You know, it's fluffy, we're all one. It sounds really sweet, but it's an actual science. It's a very real science, and a great deal of alchemy is part of that, which we don't know anymore either. So if more people could understand it and apply it, there's nothing that we can't handle. And I'm talking about global radiation. I'm talking about, huge oil spills, whatever. And they know that these technologies exist. That's what is so irritating, because if they've weaponized it, they understand it. So instead of fixing the Gulf, a lot of people don't know this, they put another Frankenstein in the Gulf. They released a synthetic microbe that's self-replicating. It's called Cynthia. That's what they did, on top of Corexit.
It is Frankensteinish. You mentioned alchemy. A lot of people listening to us right now may not know this. They hear alchemy and they think it's some sort of medieval wizardry kind of stuff. But let me tell you something, folks. The father of modern physics was a guy by the name of Newton. Ever heard of Newton's laws? Isaac Newton. He was an alchemist, And what we call modern physics was developed by him as a subset of alchemy. It was not, we have now used it to replace alchemy, and people ignore alchemy, but it was a subset of alchemy. And so that, you know, there are some things that alchemists thought that perhaps were in error. But some things that they thought and did were not in error. They worked. And but all that's been thrown away now. In its place is physics. But that's a subset having replaced the whole. And does that make a lot of sense? It doesn't appear to me to make a lot of sense, but it's a reality. What do you think? Do you think that makes a lot of sense, Crystal?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. And that's really the absurdity of it is, you know, when you look at all of this and what we've done with this technology, it's you get to a point where you realize it was this outcome was planned, that because there is no other outcome but this one, and these mm-hmm. people know how it works. And again, you know, they don't teach natural law in school anymore. That has been part of the dumbing down process. And people may say, well, what's the big deal about natural law? You're just talking about, you know, the food chain, you know, the birds eat the crickets and the dogs eat the birds or whatever. But it's so much more than that. There really is an alchemical facet to all of it. And a really interesting thing about this is that it's rare, if it ever happens, to find somebody come out of a university that knows how to produce a free energy device. It's very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have somebody who grew up in nature, they get it. Because, and I'll give you an example of what I mean.
Okay, let me say to the caller that's on hold, just hold for a moment. We'll get to you. Go ahead, Crystal.
All right. So I don't know if you're familiar with, his name is Victor Schauberger.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of these naturalist people that, because he understood nature, he was really a genius. And one of the things that he observed was, and this goes back to the vortex that people talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He observed a hawk one day flying in this circle that was getting smaller and tighter as it came down towards the water. And to his astonishment, he noticed that what was happening is, as this hawk would fly in this circular pattern to make it tighter, fish were literally gathering near the top of the water until one of them came out and he grabbed it right out of the air. He didn't have to dive under the water and get it. So these vortices that people talk about, these are also the two primary energies that creation uses. And for a while, Victor Schauberger worked for the Nazis, which is something a lot of people don't know. So you're not just talking about healing technologies and agricultural abundance. You're also talking about free energy. It's all connected. Everything's connected.
All right. I want to invite the audience to join us if you want to. We would love to hear from you, your questions, your comments for Crystal Clark. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are in the USA or Canada, please use that telephone number. If you're outside the USA and Canada, you can use that number, or you can send me a flash message. You must be outside the USA or Canada to send me a flash message. The reason we have that is because we know it is, in some places, quite expensive to make an international long-distance call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hello, Crystal.
Hello.
This
Hello.
Is Victoria, and I'm calling from Washington.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if... I've been listening to what you've said, and it just seems to me, you know, the insanity of what is being done to our world and to the earth today. I mean, it's just total insanity, and it just doesn't make any logical sense at all. And I have followed an author that Kevin has had on his show by the name of Joseph Farrell. And I keep wondering, you know, and I mean, this has been years and years, you know, decades probably, of why this keeps happening. Why are things going in the direction that they're going? And why do our politicians, you know, keep supporting this lunatic legislation? And Joseph Farrell is the first person that I have heard of that has absolutely come up with a viable, what I think is a viable answer to this question. And if you read any part of the Bible, you will find that there in the past, you know, in the Old Testament, that there were sacrificial offerings made to the gods. And this was something that was, you know, done not only in the Hebrew tradition, but also in others in around the world. I mean, in every faith or religion or whatever you want to call it. And that this, there was somehow some benefit to these so-called gods to have human sacrifice. And Joseph Farrell has posited the idea that this is all being done and orchestrated in order to gain favor with the gods of old, in order to gain this, you know, some kind of power or favor with them. And the wars are created, and the deaths are offered up in a occultish manner to the gods. The death, the death through famine, the death through weather manipulation, the death through, you name it, artificial food and artificial fertilization and dehumanization and criminalization of practically everything, and including thought these days, is a sacrificial offering to the gods to kill us off. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't really know what. Well, first of all, I don't see any other gods around. Now, my personal feeling about this is that as a human being, there's no god that could get me to do this to my own people. I personally couldn't do it. You couldn't. There's nothing you could threaten me with to poison and try to mass murder billions of people. I couldn't do it. I mean, there's nothing you could offer me. So you wonder, well, what did they get offered? I think that's kind of the other thing.
Have you read the Old Testament?
I'm sorry?
Have you read the Old Testament, where God commands this tribe to go out and slaughter every man, woman, and infant child, to kill all of their livestock, and to burn everything that they had or possessed, and destroy it all? That this directive comes from God? I mean, that's what the Old Testament says. That's straight out of Scripture. And it's like, what kind of that demands that you do this? These are the gods of old that are coming back, I think.
Well the interesting thing is that you and I didn't hear that. We're reading an account that somebody wrote. We really don't know if that's what happened.
Well, there's also this possibility. If someone out there decides that Bugs Bunny is a god, and then they say Bugs Bunny is telling them to do this, that, or the other thing, centuries from now, if that gets written down, there are people who would consider Bugs Bunny one of the ancient gods. Well, he was to that one guy. And so it really doesn't matter whether there really were ancient gods. If you have people who are believing that they did exist, and that they do exist, and that they're in communication with them, even if it's not real, it may be, but if it's not, doesn't matter. These people are going to act in accordance with their belief. And that's
exactly
what can make them, that can make them very dangerous. But a lot of times, gods are used as an excuse so that people don't have to take personal responsibility for their own evil.
Well, I just think that, you know, in the tradition of gods in the Old Testament, not speaking of the New Testament, because Jesus came and kind of changed the covenant, the rules, but in the Old Testament, the gods of old, you know, were, you know, E.T., you know, whoever they were. And they were real, true gods, and so people were, you know, following them because they had higher technology and thinking that they must be gods because they had this higher technology. But, you know, the Bible also says in Genesis that man is created in the image and likeness or the gods, as Elohim, which is plural. But so there you go. We have the same nature, evil and good, as do the gods of old.
Meaning then, of course, there's not any difference between us and them. And so I'm kind of with Crystal on this. There's not anything any alleged God could offer me that would get me to say, yeah, okay, I'll sign on to this plan to slaughter billions of people. I mean, you know, if that's what this God, whoever we may be talking about, has in mind, then, you know, he needs to come down here and do it himself. I'm not going to do it. But anyway, Victoria, I have to run. We have another call coming in, but thank you so much. Interesting perspective. You know, Crystal, what I said about people imagining gods, of course, I always get hot email when I say that. But there are people that imagine gods. And mm-hmm. whether that God is real or not real makes absolutely no difference in the long run, because they are going to act in accordance with what they say that God is telling them. Mm-hmm. And that's why it is important to know what people who believe in God think about that God. It's important to know that for your own defense. Caller, you're sure. live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Jeff. Kevin, good evening.
Good evening. Jeff, if you will. Oops. Jeff, man, I hung up on you and I was trying to put you on hold. We have a break taking over. Jeff, call back in. We will be back, folks, right after this.
And you are smart because you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And just as we went to break, we got a call. And true to my form, I punched the wrong button and cut him off. But he's back with us. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Jeff from Montreal. Good evening, Crystal.
Good evening.
Just a couple of quick comments and perhaps a quick question. I'm loving this interview, by the way, folks. Thank you so much for coming on the air. First of all, I just wanted to respond to Kevin's comment about the American public at large, or the unawakened masses, if you will, and why they keep electing people into office. I wrote down a comment, you know, people are selected, they're not elected. So I would agree with Crystal's assertion that in government, despite our illusions of democracy. We live in a very controlled society in a box, if you will. At any rate, I'm sure, Kevin, you remember Bill Cooper, and I'm sure, Crystal, you know Bill Cooper. And
yes.
If you've listened to any of his lectures, he talks about Jesus being Satan and Satan being Jesus. Not that being his belief, but, you know, really this is what the higher, quote-unquote, societies or secret societies in some circles promote and believe. So it wouldn't be a stretch for a human being that believed that they were, through the bloodline or bloodlines, custodians of the earth and would look at us as just a pestilence, if you will. And whether or not the Illuminati exists, I'm not really calling to discuss that, but certainly the social engineering and conditioning would lead me to believe, Crystal and Kevin, that the powers that be are getting ready to cull the population again. And I think Victoria was very insightful, your first caller, with regard to that there being that sort of a nefarious agenda, and they will make it public. That's part of their sort of I guess pact with nature, that they will let us know in a kind and gentle way that they're about to get rid of us. To what end, I really don't know, but I wanted to ask you, Crystal, do you have any faith in humanity today, in a sense that you know, we're going to have to wake up, we're going to have to stop dividing and conquering amongst ourselves. Do we have enough time to overcome this battle that we are certainly in right now?
I have a tremendous amount of faith in humanity. I genuinely love every single human being on this planet. And you know, you can love people and not particularly like them, and there are, of course, are people doing things that I don't particularly like, but I have a tremendous amount of faith, and I really do think that education is a big part of this, because people are being duped into doing things because they don't understand the kind of things that we're talking about. Now, again, I think that personal responsibility is really, really important, because everybody wants somebody else to blame. You know, some people blame E.T., some people blame the devil. But people are doing this. It's people that do this.
Right.
You know, Fukushima, that was people. The core exit in the Gulf of Mexico, that was people. The fluoride in the water, that's people. This is people. And I think that if we can get people to understand that this path has only one final outcome and that nobody will survive it, I would think that they would make different choices. And it's the same with those at the top. You know, maybe we can't get them to make different choices, but if they can't get anybody to carry out their choices, it doesn't happen.
What do you, Kevin, do I have time for one more question? Then thank you, Crystal, for your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
With regard to organized religion, and I've gone through sort of around the circle on this one for many years, but I've come to the, and I'm wondering if you agree or disagree, I've come to the conclusion that organized religion, and this is just my personal opinion, is somewhat of a, well, it leaves me wanting, let's put it that way, for answers, and as much as I've tried to look at organized religion as a way to fulfill me, It seems empty, and I just keep, I'm left with the feeling that until we even break free of organized religion throughout the world, and I'm talking about all of that stuff, and it sounds very New World Order to say this, but, and I'm not saying anything against God, in fact, I believe in God, but not organized religion, and I guess my question is, do we have to break that paradigm, and is organized religion just yet another, prison that has been imposed upon us, and how would we break out of that paradigm in a peaceful way?
Well, I think that you have to know that there are other choices, right? I mean, did religion teach you what we talked about tonight on this show? Did you learn that from religion? And if not, why not? Because, you know, we don't get to blame other people once we know. Once we have the information, then we have to decide what we are going to do with it. And if we have information that helps us that we didn't get from the church, well, then we can act on that. But I think that getting the information out is really, really important, because it has been hidden in many, many different ways and forms. And there are a lot of things in religion that I think are really beautiful. Some of the things that the scriptures, I think, are beautiful, but we don't understand what they mean, and that's a problem.
Well, I think we don't understand what they mean because we don't read them. If you read, you're not stupid. They say what they say. And, you know, they don't say what theologians tell you they mean. They say what they say. And, you know, I've never yet read a newspaper and then ran out, found a professional journalist to explain to me what I read in the newspaper. I'm
yeah,
not stupid. I can read.
From my perspective, I mean, like, because I would read things that would say, well, if you deviate from the law, you'll experience degeneration and death. And a lot of people view that as, okay, well, I'm just being scared into going to hell if I don't do what I'm supposed to. But it's very, very true. We don't really understand the depth behind it.
Well, and we don't, because we don't read. Let me tell you, I've had a long-running personal survey and debate, I guess, with religionists. Because I'm not religious, and I know their Bible better than they do because they don't read it. They argue points that aren't even supported by the book they're waving in your face. And, you know, all I can say, folks, is if you think that's the Word of God, then for God's sake, read it. It's written with words, and they have definitions. It says just exactly what it appears to say, not what your theologians tell you it means. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Crystal, Kevin knows my opinion of these wannabes. And Kevin, I'll say this, if I'm not on a list already, I'll be on one after this.
I'll put you on one, okay?
Okay.
All right.
They're using these technologies to go fight the people. Can we use them to fight back?
Well, I mean, you get to a place where it's not about fighting the people with the technology. I mean, yes, you can use the technology to heal yourself. If they use a technology that's making you ill, you can use the technology to repair the illness. The problem that we have, though, is that we have to get to a point where we get these people away from the buttons. Otherwise, it's this vicious circle, right? Okay, so let's say we heal Fukushima, and we heal the Gulf of Mexico, but we still use nuclear fuel, and we still have meltdowns, we still have people get sick. It's like this vicious cycle, right? And we can also cross a threshold where so many things happen at once that it's just too much. So it's really important that we get to a place where we have people in charge, if that's kind of the route we want to go, that will use it the right way. There's no other way out of it. Now, yes, anybody else can use it, and I will tell you that I know a lot of people that are developing very similar kinds of technologies, not necessarily underground, but under the radar, because to openly test it brings too much attention. But that's the problem, right? We have the right as human beings to be healthy. We shouldn't worry about, do I need to test this healing frequency in secret?
Crystal, what I'm wondering is there a way to dismantle all the wannabes tools, period? All of them.
Well, you know, I would like to say yes. Wouldn't that be great? But I don't even know who has them. I don't know where they are. I don't know who's in control of them. And I think that's part of the issue. I mean, humanity needs to start to work together to correct these problems. I don't know where they are. I personally wouldn't know where to begin, but I know that there are people who do. We need their help.
Yeah, I agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen out there, you want to fight back, dismantle their technologies, and put them in prison.
Thanks, Brett.
They should be tried. They should be tried. We should know who they are, and they should be tried and convicted and put in jail, just like we would be if we got caught doing something like that, right?
I think the very first thing you have to do is fire the people who control the money that keep all of this stuff in business. Fire them all.
Yeah, it's all connected. And, it mm-hmm. takes money to create these things, so there's a connection there for sure.
Yeah. You cut off the money, and at that point, you pretty much end all of these programs. And I think it's important to do that. Now, let me say, there are people who are going to say, "Oh, Smith, you say you don't talk politics, and here you are talking politics." No, I'm not. Come on, grow up. Politics is all about Democrats and Republicans, or it's about the Tories, it's about labor. That's politics. I'm talking about life issues and people who have the ability to pull the rug out from under us. You and me, we are putting those people in power. They are insane. You have got to get a grip on the reality that these people are the ones doing you in. They are the ones providing the money. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is John from Mesa.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Hello.
Good.
I was only able to hear bits and pieces, so if this topic has been brought up again, forgive me.
Okay.
I ran across that as I worry about some of these people and their control over our food and our vitamins and our weather. I ran across the reason that they keep selling new seeds to the farmers is because if the farmers take the seeds out of the GMO plants, after a few generations, Mother Nature takes over and turns them back into the seeds that they were before they modified.
Okay, hang on, because we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach. That means we only have just a few minutes left until it's time to bring this flight of the KSS Starship in for a landing. On the telephone with us is John from Arizona. John, you were talking about these genetically modified seeds.
Yes, and I don't remember the scientist that I saw the report on because I was very concerned about it. He said that once you start taking the seeds from the plants that grow up from the modified plants, over several generations, it was even as little as three generations, they start reverting back to the wholesome food that they once were. So Mother Nature is stronger than the genetically modification that man has put in. I found a lot of hope in that.
Yes, I've heard that, and now, I've not researched it, but I tell you, it wouldn't surprise me because nature is self-balancing. It does take
right.
time, though. So that's what I mean when I say that you can cross a threshold where you have so many things malfunctioning at the same time that it's very hard to recover from that if it's all happening at the same time.
I think the powers that be are playing a game, and with the Internet, they feel the loss of the grip of the control on the knowledge that we are getting and the information. And they may be being forced to play a hand that they're not quite ready to play yet. Yes, they may have knowledge about HAARP and be able to modify weather, but maybe not to the degree that they want us to believe, kind of like a giant card game. You know, and if we call their bluff, yeah, you know, it may be bad, but I don't think it's as bad as they paint the picture to be.
Yeah, I think it's bad. I think we have some very serious problems. I really do. But, you know, life is resilient. I think that they thought things would have progressed farther than they have. I definitely agree with that. But they're going to keep pushing. And the thing
we have
to remember is that there are more of us than there are of them. They're the idea people. But it's the rest of us that actually have to implement it. That's the important thing to remember. People can say no.
Numbers are roughly about 10 million. You know, roughly in that neighborhood, those that are dyed in the wool on their side. And I'm sure that a lot of that 10 million are being used. But, like you said, you know, we are a lot more than they are. And we're going to win eventually. I mean, and I think the biggest thing we have in our favor is spreading the word, getting the knowledge out, shining light on their activities, because once the light shines on them, the cockroaches all run back to the shade.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that sharing the knowledge is really important because we're so much harder to divide if we're all on the same page. That's the part I like.
But we have to put something with the knowledge, and that is the most powerful weapon ever invented. It is the word no. We have to put that with the knowledge so that when we are instructed to implement these insane policies, the people to whom those orders are given have to have the knowledge as to what these policies are really all about. But then they have to have the courage to use the weapon and say no.
That's right. And I think more and more people are saying no. And it's about time.
Yeah, it's really about time for, oh, I don't know, 100% of the people on this planet to stand up and say, we have had enough of this crap. No, we're not going to play the game anymore. Oh, well. John, thanks for the call.
You bet.
All right. We have a flash message that I have held until now. It's from the United Kingdom, from Bob. And I've held it because it's not specifically about this show, but in a way it is. He says, just found your website and radio show, which looks very interesting. And I know this is a late comment, but I've just listened to your interview with Captain Robert McDonald, which is absolutely riveting, and not least because you know he's telling the truth. The more these evil, dark government forces harass him, the more validation they lend to his story. You are right. You are right, Bob. And I think this is something we have to realize, Crystal. You know, when we stand and say no, there will be, initially, retaliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've seen it with one dictator after another. When the people stand and say no, the dictator retaliates and a lot of people die. If they keep standing and saying no and more people join them to say no, it soon overwhelms the dictator. And he falls. Now, we've seen this in country after country all down through history. So, you know, we have to understand that when we stand and say no, it's not a piece of cake. There can be some rough sailing as a result. But if life and sustainability of the planet, if that's important, then it's important enough to go through the rough sailing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we can get through this. We always could. We always could do this. And there's no reason that we can't. We just have to do it.
Well, one of the things that I find, because, you know, I say things and then I get email from all different kinds of people. And I made one statement on the show. Actually, I made it in our K-Files, and then I addressed it on the show because I got email from the left and the right. On the right, they were saying that I had focused on them, and I need to focus on the Occupy movement and do a story on them now in order to be fair. The Occupy movement, some of those people sent me email saying, all right, you focused on us, so now next time you have to focus on the Tea Party. All in response to the same statement. So one of the problems we have is people are thinking politics. That's a problem. You have to think issues and survival.
Yes.
And see, it doesn't really matter when you're talking about survival. If you're in the foxhole and the battle is on, it doesn't matter if the guy next to you is left or right. What matters is that together you're going to fight your way out of this and survive. And so we have to forget about all that left-right stuff, and we've got to survive. At least that's my two cents.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I think so, too. And I mean, do people think that, you know, it's only going to the New World Order, if they get their way, that they're going to leave the Tea Partiers alone or the Democrats alone? I mean, we are all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in it together. It's the same planet. We can't go buy a new planet. We're all in this together.
Yeah. You know, if the oxygen goes, we all die. You know, if the food goes, we all die. And your politics won't matter. Now, at the same time, I don't want to sound like an alarmist, and I'm not. I think if people are awake and alert and they have the knowledge of what's being done to us, and they stand up together and say no, we win. All right.
Okay.
I want to thank you, Crystal. Stay on the line with me for just a moment. We've run out of time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.